positive rotation. Ignition. You guys have a nice flight. We'll see you back here.
Welcome to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast of the Illinois Air National Guard at Scott Air Force Base. I'm your host, Master Sergeant Brian Ellison, the Roll Call podcast focused on people, mission, and community. This week's guest is the Mission Support Group Commander, Colonel Mike Mahalik. He tells us about how he became a civilian engineer officer, his time at the National Guard Bureau, and his favorite car. The Cardinal Creek Gate time has changed for outbound traffic on drill weekends. The gate will be open now from 15:30 to 16:30. That's 3:30 to 4:30 for those who speak civilian. The Winter Run Clinic registration is going on now. The clinic starts October 21st and runs through December 12th. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 15:30. Contact Mrs. Heather Braunmeier at heather.l.braunmeier.civ@health.mil. If you need more information, you need that email, you can find it in this month's edition of Wingtips. Coming up in this week's Around the Air Force, the B-21 Raider goes through another round of testing and changes coming to the way wings are structured. Coming up after this, it's Colonel Mike Mahalik.
Oh, yeah. Were you there the whole time?
250 calories?
That shit's gonna kill you.
No wonder you're not on make staff.
Are you having a hard time at work?
Yeah.
Do you wish you had a place to voice those issues?
Uh-huh.
You actually can. That's what the DEOC survey is for.
What's the DEOC survey?
Defense Organizational Climate Survey. It's a survey submitted anonymously to the commander, and your input can really make a difference.
I never fill those out.
It allows you to give confidential feedback about your unit, climate, and leadership. So, like, you should.
Joining us on the podcast, 126th Mission Support Group Commander, Colonel Mike Mahalik. Sir, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you stopping by. I know you're a busy dude, so, you know, I appreciate you stopping by.
My pleasure.
What is the Mission Support Group? You guys are the biggest group in the wing. You guys have six squadrons?
We got six squadrons, a total of seven different units. We range anywhere from Force Support Squadron, CE, so Civil Engineering, Supply Change Operation Squadron, Logistics Readiness Squadron, Security Forces Squadron, Conflight, and Contracting. Everyone always forgets about that little contracting.
Yeah.
Over there with the three individuals in there. We have over 30 AFSCs that are all within the Mission Support Group.
How do you, as a commander, keep track of all that?
Definitely a team effort to be able to look at everybody, and no way I could do it alone.
You mentioned the Supply Chain Operations Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see them as a mystery. What do they do? How could you explain them?
So I have to say, when I first came here, I saw them the exact same way. The Supply Chain Operations Squadron is one of our active associations. It's actually a classic association, so TFI,
right,
where we are embedded with the active duty over at the 375th. They are the leg that comes before we actually receive material here to be able to support our local missions. What that means is that they go out there, they find the warehouse that all the different entities are in, or the supply item that they need are in, and they then ship it to wherever it needs to go. So it's a total force, worldwide capability.
So they basically order the stuff.
They order the stuff, they find where it is, and they basically hand it over and get it shipped to wherever it needs to go worldwide.
So what'd you do before you were MSG commander?
So before I was Mission Support Group Commander, I was the Director of Staff up at State Headquarters. There we were very much a strategic mission, looking at how can we as Illinois interface with the national defense strategy and the priorities that actually have been stated, where it's homeland defense, strategic attacks against the U.S. allies and partners, so the SPP program, looking at deterring different things, the defense of the region, and then just the total force, joint force entities that we had there. The priorities that were stated up there were for each individual wings. Here in the state, we have three different wings. We have, of course, the Great 126 with the air refueling wing, and then we have the 182nd, who is a C-130J unit, just announced as a C-130J this past year. So we worked very heavily with the legislation to be able to get that done. And then the 183rd, which is an air operations group wing, our air operations wing that basically has a lot of cyber entities there. We basically have it where all those come together. We look at the domestic operations and other missions and see how we can work together to be able to come and support not only the federal, but the state mission and also our state partnership mission.
So before that, before you were up in state, you were here with the 126th.
That is correct. So in 2017, I came from National Guard Bureau to be the Civil Engineering Squadron Commander. Got the odd opportunity as a brand new Lieutenant Colonel at the time to be able to come in command. I thought it was only a short-term gig. Family came here. We fit in with the community. And now I'm 7 years here and working well. Civil engineering is definitely a very unique squadron. You know, they have the squadron over here at the 126 has 9 different AFSCs, 5 or 6 different pots of money, all these different entities that you normally don't get to see. So it allows the command structure of it is very steep to be able to learn, and it was great that the 126 allowed me to come here and learn and develop my leadership.
How long were you with the Civil Engineer Squadron?
The Civil Engineer Squadron, I was here for four and a half years, somewhere in there, before going up to state headquarters.
Wow. Where are you from?
Oh, that's a trick question.
Is that a trick question?
That absolutely is a trick question. So I am a military brat.
Oh, okay.
My father was actually in the Air National Guard.
Oh, wow.
So, but prior to that, he was in the Army. So I knew right away that I wanted to join the Air National Guard, but I did not join straight out of college. I went to college at Mississippi State and then went 9 years active duty. So home is where I lay my head at night. It all varies on different locations and everything. I think I have a total of 9 different states.
That holy cow. I thought you were, for some reason, I thought you were from Maryland.
So Maryland,
I've heard you mention Maryland before.
Maryland is where I lived when I was working at the National Guard Bureau.
Oh, okay. What'd you do at the National Guard Bureau?
I was very lucky to actually have multiple jobs, so it all was related to civil engineering. I started out being the long-term planner or the looking at the 20-year outlooks, and then after that, I went into, I'm going to say about the 5 to 10-year range of project development for civil engineering. What that meant is I developed with the base civil engineers at each location the planning documents, the funding documents and everything, and helped them get the funding through NGB and through Congress, depending on the level of funding. I was first a quote-unquote state programmer, so I was the liaison, and then I became a branch chief, which was the person that actually went to interacted with the active duty over at the Pentagon trying to arrange the different types of funding. Lastly, right before moving out here to Scott, I was the readiness branch chief, so I got to touch into the different aspects of how civil engineers deploy, how they train, how they equip themselves.
So you had a good idea before you came to CE how CE Squadron may work?
I had a very broad sense of how it worked, but the day-to-day operations, it's completely different than the headquarters or the active duty side. We here in the Air Guard operate off of about 10 people full-time.
Oh, wow.
As active duty has about 400. So for us to be able to do similar work, not the same amount, but similar work, it's pretty impressive.
Wow. So you went to Mississippi State. Where? What did you? What was your degree?
My degree was in landscape architecture. It is a very broad, to be able to say the least. Why did I get into civil engineering at that? It's more of the construction management side of everything that I loved and desired to get into. I wanted to follow my father's footsteps. My father was a civil engineer officer in the Air National Guard, so I am a legacy when it comes to that. Fun story, when I went up there to National Guard Bureau, I worked with some of the same individuals that my father worked with just 10 years prior. So in the same building, all those different things. People that worked for my father now were my bosses when I was there.
Oh, wow, that's kind of how the Air National Guard is, right?
It's awesome.
It's a big family.
Big family.
Yeah. You went regular Air Force. What'd you do in the regular Air Force?
So I actually started out as space and missiles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As an officer.
So I only ended up doing about 4 months. Went on casual status out at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I was helping support the general officer with a event that was going on. And just like all good general officers, they came around and started talking to all the young lieutenants and what do you want to be when you grow up scenario. He came to the other second lieutenant that was there with me and said, asked the question first, and he said, oh, I'm a lifer. I'm here 20 plus years. I want space and missiles. I'm ready for this. He looked at me and, why as a second lieutenant I decided to say the words, I don't know. But he asked me the exact same question. What do you want to do with your career? And I looked at him and I said, four and out. And I meant it. The reason why is I wanted civil engineering. And because my degree was in landscape architecture, it was not an approved degree. That's... general officer had such respect for me being so straightforward and compassionate about what I wanted to do with my career. He helped me get into civil engineering by signing a waiver package to be able to push it through.
Wow, that's quite the story. How does being the former CE squadron commander help you as MSG commander?
As I stated earlier, we have over 30 AFSCs in the group. CE has over 9. Some of them, it goes up to 13. We only have, like I said, about 9 over there in the local civil engineering squadron. Those, being able to manage the different type of aspects of those AFSCs and understanding that they all have their own training avenues and everything. My job that I see here as the mission support group commander is to develop and mentor the leaders of their squadrons. So it's understanding that, hey, everybody has their own strengths, their own training and everything, and just be able to come together and help them focus to be able to get all the different training aspects done. With civil engineering, I was able to do that right away because of being able to already knowing that, hey, 9 AFSCs, you just expanded to get to 30.
Wow. So I think you already answered this, but I'll ask you this. You joined you why'd you join the, why'd you choose the 126?
Why did I choose the 126? So I think what you were going to ask me, and let's come back to that question.
Okay.
But you wanted to ask me, why did I join the Air National
Guard? Sure, yeah.
So I got a good story to go along with this. So
oh, okay.
You can't miss this one.
Okay.
I actually tried joining at the age of 17 into the Air National Guard. I was on joined the 125th out in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And I walked in, I went through the recruiter, I found out what job I was getting, and I was super excited. I was going in to meet my new boss, who was Senior Master Sergeant Smith, we'll call him. Reached my hand across the table to introduce myself to him and spilt his coffee all over his desk.
Oh, no.
All that to say, I decided I did not want to work for the Senior Master Sergeant at that point, and that is when I decided to go off to college. Originally, I was going to enlist. I feel it is important for officers to understand the enlisted side of the house as they are growing up with command. So that was my first interaction with joining the Air Guard. Now, to your question with why did I choose the 126, my wife and family are not from the Midwest at all. We are from the Southeast area. But I looked at my wife and I said, okay, it's time for me to command. Where can we go? And she said, hey, let's look at somewhere that we can bring the family, develop them, raise them, and be able to be semi-close to home, family. So when I say semi-close, my in-laws are 6 hours away. My father is 10 hours away. And because of being active duty, that is still semi-close in our regard. It allowed us to be semi-close to family, allowed me to command, and I looked at the mission aspect of it. Again, my father being in the Guard, he was actually a member of Topeka, which is also a KC-135 unit.
Okay, yeah.
And I still have very fond memories of going out there and exploring the KC-135 in kindergarten, first grade time period. So to be able to bring it all back together and be able to have my career commanding at a KC-135 unit was just awesome.
How important is the mission support group to the wing mission?
All the different aspects of the mission support group, it says it right there in the name. We are a support entity. What that means is that we are there to support the aircraft and make sure that we can get the aircraft in the air. From logistics, where we're out there getting the supplies, the vehicles to be able to tow different things, be able to get people different places. Also in logistics, the deployers, CE with maintaining the facilities, making sure we had electricity, water, all the different aspects of there, emergency management as they go in and they train us with Sea Burnie and all the things that we all love to exercise. Force support as they are doing PERSCO, they're getting us out the door, making sure we have accountability of everybody. The security force is just securing the flight line, making sure everything's there. Comm flights, you know, wouldn't be able to have our computers up and running. All of it is a support entity. I don't want to leave out contracting with them. You know, we wouldn't be able to buy anything without them. You right. know, GPC and all that, that goes through our contracting realm. So as you look at it, the plane would not be able to fly without the mission support group. Does that mean that we're in the cockpit ready to go? No, that means we're putting the fuel on the plane. We're just overall support, anything that they need to be able to conduct their different missions.
You've been in, how long have you been in now?
21 years.
Wow. What's been a memorable moment for you in your military career?
I've had several, as you can imagine. You know, it probably goes back to embracing the suck. So two different aspects of it, either exercises. One of my fondest memories, I was on night shift, and we were working back in the day. We had something called the Disaster Control Center, and I was the IOC as a brand new second lieutenant. And just going through all the different scenarios, it's around 2 a.m. and we go into alarm red, MOP 4, and just sitting there and remembering all the different aspects of it, and how the mission directly impacted me, and I actually had to make some decisions that impacted the entire wing. Fast forward about 10 years, and I'm now deployed, and we're over there in Afghanistan, and I'm supporting special ops and just learning all the different things. If you've never deployed with special ops, they are a different animal altogether. And realizing that sometimes creature comforts come first, even if you think that it is more the mission, the creature comforts of having a warm shower definitely impacts the mission. So all those two scenarios right there are some of my fondest memories.
Kind of answered this already, but I'll ask it anyways. What keeps you serving in the Air National Guard?
So what really keeps me serving is to be able to continue to lead, to be able to mentor, develop the leaders out there. You know, we have to continue to strengthen the culture and reinforce airmen readiness, discipline, ethical leadership, professionalism as we look at the mission.
So I got to ask you, you seem to have a lot of cars. is that a hobby of yours?
It actually is not, but it's a hobby of one of my kids. So I have three teenage boys.
Okay.
I have a 19, a 17, and a 15-year-old.
Oh, wow.
They all like their... So the younger two actually are very much into cars. My 17-year-old just this past weekend went and took a transmission out of his 93 Mazda Miata, and he gets the transmission out and says, "Well, Dad, I'm halfway there." So he went and took the engine out. He's replacing the transmission, and it's one of those things that I love to see these skills. And but he wanted to look at the clutch and look at the engine, make sure everything was going well. So it's really... It's the backward edge method. So edge is a Boy Scout term. I'm actually an assistant scout master, used to be a scout master for the Boy Scouts. But it's educate, demonstrate, guide, and enable. And he's really teaching me on how different vehicles. Yes, I do have my favorite vehicle. I own a 73 Volkswagen Bug. It was... a car that my wife bought me when I pinned on Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, no kidding.
And it goes back because I had to sell my 74 Bug when I had my first kid. Safety and all those different things. So once they were old enough, out of child seats and all that, she managed to go out there and surprise me and get another one for me.
I was wondering about that Bug.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely my baby. The 17-year-old and the 15-year-old love to drive it. The 19-year-old says when he comes back from college this year, he's going to learn how to drive a manual so that he can start driving it on dates and everything.
That's how I learned how to drive a manual, was a 69 Bug.
69, ah. Great year with the, let's see, that would have been a little bit smaller of a rear window and all that stuff, so... yeah, dream car would be actually a 57 Bug. So if you ever come across one, go ahead and let me know. I'll come and buy it.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you, sir, for joining us on the podcast. That's 126th Mission Support Group Commander, Colonel Mike Mahalik.
Thank you.
The Department of the Air Force is implementing a new concept that will develop wings into cohesive units of action, separating them into combat wings, airbase wings, and institutional wings as early as the summer of 2025. The new concept will create several organizations, capable of conducting deployed combat operations as well as base defense. Combat wings will focus on mission-level warfighting readiness, supported by airbase wings that will focus on power projection platform readiness. Institutional wings will continue to provide support and capabilities essential to the organizing, training, and equipping requirements of the U.S. Air Force. Secretary of Defense Lloyd J. Austin III has announced 7 initiatives to improve the standard of living for service members and their families as part of his Taking Care of People initiative. The initiatives include the expansion of temporary lodging allowance, spouse eligibility for financial assistance in My Career Advancement accounts, a quality of life review at remote installations, and more. The DoD will continue to collaborate with Congress and state partners to ensure the successful implementation and support of these initiatives. Department of the Air Force leaders and industry partners gave updates on the B-21 Raider, the Air Force's newest bomber, during the Air, Space, and Cyber Conference. The new bomber completed a test that confirmed its structural integrity and will now go through a fatigue testing campaign. The B-21 Raider is a long-range, highly survivable stealth bomber with a mix of conventional and nuclear munitions, making it the future airleg of the nuclear triad. General Thomas Bussier, commander of Air Force Global Strike Command, says the B-21 fleet will provide great comfort to allies and should provide great pause to any potential adversary. That's your look around the Air Force. I'm Airman First Class Phil Edwards.
If you're having thoughts of suicide or know someone in crisis, call the Military Crisis Line. That's 988. You can press 1. You can also text the Suicide and Crisis Line at 988. You can find all of our links on Linktree. That's linktr.ee/126ARW. If you're watching on YouTube, you can also download this on your favorite podcast app. If you want to pass along some information, you can email rollcall@126.arw.pa.mm.org@us.af.mil. Thanks for listening to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast focused on people, mission, and community. I'm Master Sergeant Brian Ellison. 100. 50. 30. 20. 10.